This week, John Brummett, political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, sat down for his usual week in the rearview mirror conversation with Roby Brock from our partner Talk Business and Politics. But as the past 2 years have proven, no political conversation is a usual conversation anymore. This week, they covered the latest in the fallout from investigations into members of Arkansas State Legislature, DACA, the Great Stadium Debate, and that pretty unconventional meeting between the president and top Washington, D.C. Democrats.
So we do have Congress returning to its normal functions of being in session here. And one of the big stories of the week is Donald Trump, maybe the Republican president, has decided he's going to work with the Democrats now. How surprising is this? And what do you think the fallout has been?
You know, in a way, it's not surprising because it is totally, it is unpredicted. It is bizarre. It's wholly unconventional. And so that's sort of common Trump behavior. What I think the fallout would be, it remains to be seen. I think it's a one-time thing. I think Trump's attention span is about 12 hours. And I think at its outside. And I think this is... I think he made, in this case, there was a confluence of factors that worked. He thought, one, we can get the debt limit off the table. I can look better than Obama, who always had trouble getting the debt ceiling done. We can get that done. George W. had trouble with Katrina and Sandy. The Republicans look bad. We're going to do this one. Efficiently, so that what Schumer and Pelosi, his new best friends of the last couple of days, offered was a way to do all that. With the confluence of one other factor, he could really stick it to the Republicans who failed him on health care and who have been talking bad about him in the press. So all of those things together made a magic opportunity for him to do something that, in a bipartisan spirit, would be good, but was also motivated by his usual negative egomania and spite, and probably is a one-time happenstance.
Do you think he's pushing to try to get Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell ousted from leadership by cutting this type of deal, and on top of the abuse that he heaped on them for several weeks there, to show that they're ineffective as leaders of the Republican majorities?
I don't know that he thinks that strategically in a long term. I think he thinks in the moment in terms of ego gratification and getting good press. But I do suspect, based on the news that broke during the week, that at least he had had a moment in which he had said to somebody, because the thing had legs there for a little bit, that you know, maybe we could run Newt or Santorum and get them in as Speaker of the House. I mean, I think that he'd love that. I'm not sure. I just am not prepared to assign that kind of linear strategic thinking to what he's doing. I think the telling thing about this is that the morning after he made this deal with Nancy and Chuck, he's on the phone crowing to Nancy about the great press they're getting. I think that's what it's about with him. How am I going to look in the moment on this?
Let's talk about his DACA decision there. It's obviously caught a tremendous amount of uproar. He's given Congress 6 months to fix this problem. Then he kind of backtracks a little bit off of that. Says he's
12-hour attention span.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, do you think that at the end of the day, it's a whole bunch of needless working people up into a frenzy to further create chaos in order for the status quo to probably eventually be the final decision? Or do you think there's a chance to do something bigger?
Roby, you ask very good questions, and you're asking conventional questions at an unconventional time. And I mean, the idea, that it is defensible, it is credible that you would say, this was an executive order that I think is probably unconstitutional and is going to be challenged, and it ought to be addressed by Congress, and we're going to give Congress 6 months to do it. That makes sense. But then he got bad press about it during that day, and by the evening he's tweeting, if they don't act, I'll revisit, and he's sending out reassurances. So who knows?
Turning our attention to state politics here, State Senator Jim Hendren, likely the next leader of the state Senate, majority leader at this point in time, issues a pretty detailed statement about how they are going to go forward with potential indictments by their members, asking them to step down from committeeships, basically, right. But obviously still respecting innocent until proven guilty. That's a pretty big development. He was feeling some pressure. Explain to people what has been going on maybe behind the scenes.
Well, for 2 or 3 years, and maybe into 4 years, we've had legislative and Arkansas political establishment fretting about federal investigation of legislative actions regarding the use of the General Improvement Fund and maybe some behavioral health funding. And people have been saying somebody's going to get indicted, and we've had two indicted. We've had some publicity about Senator Jake Files of Fort Smith, who has not been charged with anything, let's be clear, but who seems to have had some business difficulty, and there's some curiosities.
And the FBI's investigating.
He has admitted the FBI's come to see him. And there continues to be this pall cast over the whole legislative culture that we've had a couple of little flip-flops drop, but big shoes are going to drop. The Democratic Party called on Files to resign, which was absurd. He had no reason for him to resign without indictment, much less conviction. But absent a conviction, what would the House, what would the Senate Republican caucus do if a member came under active indictment for corruption activities? Hendren and the Republican caucus, which is about two-thirds of the Senate, put out a statement basically saying you would relinquish all your leadership positions, and more than that, you couldn't sit on a committee, which I find odd.
Yeah.
But it's you ask him, and Hendren, who had a quote in the paper today, more indictments are possible, or you may even have used the word likely. So the political pressure is growing. There is a lot of public disgust with what they read about some of these activities, and particularly among Republicans who want to show that they can run this state cleaner than was run before. That it is important to them to try to get ahead of this to the extent that they can, and that's what's going on.
Let's talk a little bit about some Razorback football, because I know you love to tweet about Razorback football.
Did you follow my tweets last week? I followed your tweet.
I want to go back to week one. The Razorbacks in War Memorial Stadium playing Florida A&M, pretty low crowd attendance of 36,000. I'm going to argue this. I don't think it's Little Rock's fault that there were that few people there, because it was a cupcake team, it was a Thursday night, and Little Rock fans go to Northwest Arkansas for the games, but I'm not sure how many Northwest Arkansas fans came to Little Rock to fill up that stadium.
It's not Little Rock's fault. It was a horrible game. There was a threat of monsoon that continued to infest. It was Thursday night. I was making fun of the crowd on Twitter, and a guy said, look, I would be there, but Thursday night is my nephew's junior high football. It was such a cultural change. Parking and tailgating were limited by the fact that it was a business day in Little Rock. No, it's not Little Rock's fault, but it's a good additional bit of supposed evidence for Fayetteville to use to take away the Little Rock games, which I think is a fait accompli, and probably, forgive me, I've been saying this for 20 years, makes sense, ought to be so.
Well, the facilities difference is so different.
It has become
now.
So different. Yeah. The TV needs and the whole experience have become different. So much money has been and is being invested in making that Razorback Stadium the place, and the money is so much different. Apparently, if I read Wally Hall correctly, the U of A could buy out the contract next year and still make out ahead by playing the game in Fayetteville. They're due one more. It's a conference game. I suspect that will be it. It will be a loss of a great tradition. And it will have a great amount of sadness, but it makes economic sense.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he talked with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. There's much more from their conversation at talkbusiness.net. You can also read John Brummett's columns at arkansasonline.com.